what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. We're doing the show early this week, getting it knocked out, getting it out the way. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to chop up some good tonight. So don't y'all go nowhere. Let everybody know that we're on live right now, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Tariq Radio. We're going to take that real quick commercial break, but we'll be right back. So don't you move a muscle right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Attention parents and teachers, are you tired of your children listening to music that glamorizes drug use and negative stereotypes? If so, check out Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning educational program that uses hip-hop to teach children mathematics, science, self-esteem, and much, much more. This is a black-owned product that needs to be supported. Go to giftedandlit.com to order their program today. Remember, that's giftedandlit.com. What's up? Are you a fan of hip-hop and self-help and personal development? Then check out my man Poe at Popolitikin. Founded in 2008, Popolitikin is a self-help meets hip-hop brand. And with each interview, they teach the babies and they share success secrets with you, the listener. Past guests of the show includes Jay Prince, Yo Gotti, Currency, MC Lyte, Dead Prez, rapper Big Pooh, and many more. Popolitikin has featured over 500 guests on his show. Popolitikin also showcases a lot of the up-and-coming new artists in the game. So subscribe right now on iTunes and Spotify and follow Popolitikin on social media at Popolitikin. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
Yo, what's going on, family? We're here. We're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Ready to chop up that good game, family. We're early. We're doing the show early this week. Usually, you know, we're supposed to do it on Wednesday. I do it Wednesday, Thursday, sometimes Friday, but I'm getting it knocked out. We didn't do ISM today. I've been working on HC5, so we're not going to do ISM this week or next week, but after that, we're going to be back on ISM, but I'm knocking out HC5. Really, really working hard on that, trying to get that popping. And we're looking at hopefully getting HC5 out by June. By June of this year. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. So how's everybody doing? I hope y'all are having a good day. I hope you guys had a great night. A lot of things we got to touch on that's happening in the media. One thing that people are talking about, 21 Savage, rapper 21 Savage, they're talking about deporting 21 Savage. A lot of folks didn't know 21 Savage is actually British. The dude was born in Britain, and he led everybody to believe that he was from Atlanta, that he was raised in Atlanta. Now, he's According to documents, he's been in Atlanta since he was around 13 years old. But, you know, you don't hear the British accent or anything. So really, that threw people for a loop. That was a hell of a surprise for a lot of people. With 21 Savage getting those deportation hits. Somebody hit him up on that deportation thing, the ICE people. And there were a lot of people making jokes about, you know, the brother getting deported. And I don't like to see, you know, anything like that happen to anybody. And people were trying to almost throw a little salt on the British by saying, you know, how can you be a like a street rapper or a trap rapper and you're British? Because the British, for some reason, people have the misconception that British people are soft. And I've been to Britain, the UK, many, many times, and them brothers are not soft. Don't let them accents fool you. Y'all go over to places like Brixton and all that, you get stabbed all the way the hell up by a nigga who sounds like Mary Poppins. So don't sleep on them dudes over there just because they got them accents. Them dudes are 100% with the shits. Some of them brothers over there are about that life for real, for real. With a spot of tea. Brothers will chop your ass smooth up, eating some fish and chips, sounding like Peppa Pig when they talk. So don't mess with them dudes over there thinking they soft now. Let's get off that. Shout out to the UK and shout out to the British cats. But the thing is, you know, the timing of this, you know, always look at the timing of everything and always look at things in the context of white supremacy. Look at the timing of this. I wonder why they timed it now. Think about that. Because the white supremacists are always playing chess. They always do things. There's a rhyme and reason for everything they do. Because I study them. And the timing of this is very interesting because they had to know, have known about his status for a while. He's not some random dude hiding out. This guy has, you know, big records out. He's nominated for a Grammy, so the ICE people, they know who he is. He's not some unknown random immigrant that's hiding somewhere in a bungalow that's undocumented. So why'd they wait now? It looked like they wanted to do it now so that with this election, a lot of the energy can be dissipated talking about immigration and using him as a symbol of immigration. So instead of us talking about a lot of black issues, we'll get back into that immigration thing. Think about that. Look at the timing of a lot of things that's been happening now. The timing is very particular, peculiar, I'm sorry. The timing is very peculiar. This guy, he gets hit by ICE. He gets hit with some immigration things. We didn't know he was an immigrant. We thought he was just a regular brother from Atlanta. So now a lot of people are very sympathetic towards him. So, and there's a lot of black celebrities saying, hey, free 21 Savage. So now there's a movement with that to a minor degree. So is this a way for them to try to dissipate our energy to get us to talk about immigration again, even with the Jussie Smollett assault or alleged assault that so many people are saying? They keep tying in homophobia and racism. They made a point to tie in homophobia and racism with that attack. So now you minimize racism when we talk about homophobia now that there is an election. So a lot of this stuff is very interesting. That is popping off right about now. You know, I don't put anything past the white supremacists. They do everything in a very conniving and calculated way. But we still need to be focused. We need to stay focused on what we need to do as black American descendants of slaves, foundational black people. We will not be distracted. We got to stay on code with what we got going on because it is tangible time. We're talking tangibles 2020, and we're going to stick to that code. Now, a lot of people, we saw the State of the Union. I saw little bits and pieces of it. Wasn't too interested in it. again, if nothing, if there's no black agenda on the menu, I'm not really rocking with it. Now, some things that I saw, because it was on for a while, Trump was talking about the criminal reform, and they had a couple of black folks that they were parading around talking about criminal reform. And my thing is this, black folks, let's not get caught up in that we help black people by criminal reform, because that gives the assumption that black people are already criminals. How do we help black people who are not criminals? Every time they talk about helping black people, they start talking about some damn criminal reform. See, we got to watch the language and don't let them think that they've done us a favor by doing some damn criminal reform, because black folks shouldn't have been railroaded in the jail system in the first place. You're going to have an open black agenda. We're not going to hide behind no damn criminal reform, Medicaid, healthcare. We're not hiding behind that stuff. The benign neglect policy is over, and black people, foundational black Americans, we are calling it over. We're the ones saying that it's over. Because we're not going to do the same things that we've been doing while they've given us nothing. See, black people, we've always been taught take abuse and take the moral high road. We're always told how we're so good morally. Our moral strength is just something to be admired while we get abused. We're supposed to take abuse with dignity. You look at movies like The Help. The Help was all about these sisters just getting abused by these white supremacists, and they just had dignity with the abuse. We ain't about to do that game. Enough is enough. Foundational black Americans, ADOS, black American descendants of slaves, like our brother Claude Anderson said, we are exceptional people. We've done too many great things. We've done things that other people could not do. We survived things that other people could not have survived. We've done magical, mystical, almost physically impossible things, and that makes us exceptional people. See, we're told that we're on the bottom of the social totem pole because we just didn't work harder, jump harder. We just didn't hustle harder. Let me tell you something. All these other groups who come in and enjoy the benefits that we've created, these people couldn't take one iota of what we've been through. They couldn't. That's why they have to bring their asses over here and jump on our backs. We're going to have to keep it 100. People couldn't get down like we got down and survive what we survived. We are the most exceptional people on the planet. Nobody has the type of character as foundational black Americans. Yeah, am I sounding like I'm on some We Number One shit? I might be. Nobody. When you think of icons, you think of foundational black Americans all around the world. And we have to understand that and recognize that and realize why they keep trying to denigrate us, why they keep trying to brainwash us, while they keep using our morality against us. It's all right to be moral, but you got to be practical. And all that, when they go low, we go high. Hell no. Like our brother Claude Anderson said, we have to treat every single person the same way they treat us. And notice, now that black men and women are getting on code, look how nervous everybody is getting. Look how funny style everybody's getting. Look how everybody keeps trying to run game on us. I mean, it's just a plethora, an onslaught of people running game at us. Nobody else but us. They're running game on us every single day. Like I said, all these little incidents coming up, they're trying to tie their movements in with us. Just like with Justice Smollett, the white LGBT movement doing their damnedest to latch on to that. And they've never been a friend of black society. With the immigration thing, people are trying to latch that on to 21 Savage. Now, did y'all hear that on the Grammys, they're going to have Jennifer Lopez do a Motown tribute? And everybody's looking like, what the hell is that about? That shocked everybody. What the hell is Jennifer Lopez going to do a Motown tribute for? When you got Beyonce out here, Jill Scott, Jasmine Sullivan, Brandy, Monica, Keisha Cole, Mary J. Blige, Layla Hathaway, Fantasia, Patti LaBelle. I mean, the list goes on and on. All these R&B songstresses out here doing who could do classic black music because they're black artists themselves. You're going to get Jennifer Lopez to do a Motown tribute? Now, that confused a lot of people, but I see what they're doing. What they're trying to do, because it's election season, they're trying to create that black-brown alliance. This is nothing but that black-brown alliance thing that they're trying to conjure up. They're trying to promote. When you see the Grammys, you're going to hear a lot of that BS. What was that? Was it the Grammys when they had that Latina singer? I think it was last year. She got on there and told that big-ass lie, talking about immigrants and talking about how immigrants built America. She told that big disrespectful-ass lie. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to use Jennifer. They're going to try to have her sing Motown songs because that's going to be the black-brown alliance that they're trying to push. And let me tell you something. I said this on Twitter. If somebody like Mary J. Blige was allowed to go to the Latin Music Awards and do the Gloria Estefan tribute, they would lose their damn minds. You'll see that black-brown alliance. You'll see the truth about that black-brown alliance. They'll have a damn hissy fit if that were to happen. Let's be real. But they're running game. People keep trying to run this game on us. So we have to see what it is, and we have to keep our eyes on the ball, family. We can't let them run game on us. We got to really stay laser focused with our agenda. Don't let them run that kumbaya game on us, because they're on code and they're dog whistling to each other. Did y'all hear about Liam Neeson, the white actor Liam Neeson? He said he did an interview talking about 40 years ago, one of his female friends was raped by a black dude. Well, he said that she was raped. He said, who was the guy? What color was the guy? She said it was black. So Liam Neeson went out for like a week looking for some random black people to attack. But he, I guess, couldn't find nobody, or he didn't want that smoke. So a lot of people are looking at him funny style, but now the white media, they're parading him around on like a redemption tour. He was all on Good Morning America telling the story about how he wanted to go around killing black people. And they're sitting up letting this guy say this on national television. Do y'all know how dangerous that is? No, he didn't kill a black man, but he wanted to. He said he wanted to, and he went looking for a brother. And they got this dude sitting on national morning television talking about how he wanted to go out and kill a black person. And they're sitting up here talking about how brave he is for his redemption. They're trying to spin this as if he overcame his racism and he should be applauded. And I see Butter Biscuit Eating Negroes co-signing this. Terry Crews was even co-signing this, talking about Liam Neeson was going through a fork in the road. This is how disgusting some of these Negroes out here in Hollywood are. Now, these are the same Negroes who go around pointing their finger at black society talking about toxic masculinity. Now, let Will Smith say 1 year ago he felt like going out killing a white person. Let Will Smith say that. Will Smith would be on the black identity extremist list. He would be on the FBI list. They would take every one of his movies off Netflix, HBO, and everywhere else. You understand me? remember, all the hot water people like LeBron James and those guys got into, and they had to get forced to apologize by complimenting the Jewish community, saying that they wanted to get money like the Jewish community, and then they flipped that and spin that on them, and they had to go around and apologize for that. They were reprimanding them for that. And Liam Neeson's going out here talking about he wanted to kill niggas. And they were like, oh my God, that's, he shows such growth. So these white supremacists are on code, family. Black people, you see how on code they are? We cannot afford to be on the kumbaya nonsense. We have to trim the fat with folks who are not on code and just be around the people who are on code, and that's perfectly fine. And I like the fact that a lot of people who are not on code, they're being G-checked now, because benign neglect is over. We're not going to allow these people to use us and not do anything for us. We're not going to elevate people anymore for them to turn around and spit in our faces. We're just not going to do it. Benign neglect is over. Black tangibles are on the menu. We're not going to be scared into saying, well, if we don't vote for one of these Negroes that's running around here tap dancing and doing the Millie Rock, we're going to get some more years of Trump. That scare tactic doesn't work no more. That doesn't work. We've been dealing with Trumps for 400 years already. Another 4 years ain't going to do nothing. We've already been dealing with the damn Trumps. Y'all ain't going to scare us with no damn Trump is going to be here for four more years. That's all we've been dealing with are Trumps. That's nothing. So it's tangible time. We've gotten, though, if that's the case, we got somebody who's basically an open white supremacist with Trump. So now, okay, we've seen the belly and the bottom of the barrel. Now it's tangible time. It can't get no worse than him. Now, let's get to the tangibles. See, that's the thing where people are missing out. Trump ain't done nothing to us that has not been done already. There are less people killed under Trump in the black community than under Obama. Under Obama, do y'all understand? More black people were legally executed by race soldiers under Obama than any other time in the history of this country. I'm talking about during Jim Crow. I'm talking about during the 1950s, 60s. Black folks weren't killed like that. Even in the highlight of lynchings in the 1920s, black folks weren't lynched like that, like black folks were killed under the 8 years of Obama. You understand? So it's tangible time. We're not about to elevate everybody over us, because right now is very critical. This is a very crucial moment right now, because other groups are brought in to really wipe us out. And, you know, they elevate the Kamala Harris's and the Cory Booker's to maintain the benign neglect policy. And they don't know how to go around that. So we're going to force them to have to bring the tangibles. Well, we're just not going to support them. And with Trump and those guys in power, you know, that's more of a detriment to these other groups, because, see, they haven't had a chance to attack these other groups like they've attacked us. So they knew booty. And see, everybody else wants us to save them. We ain't saving nothing. Y'all haven't saved us. We're going to treat you the same way you've treated us. You have not saved us. And I've said this a million times in the last 50 years. None of these groups who come over here from other places, none of them have helped black people one iota. When I point this out, Negroes start talking dumb. They start talking about Marcus Garvey and Malcolm X. Fool, you just proved my point. They start talking about people who were here way before 50 years ago. I'm talking about 50 years until now. It has not helped us. Don't start pointing to Negroes who were here way before then. Because before 50 years ago, they had to come into black society. After 1968, when they had the Fair Housing Act and all that stuff, they were not forced to live in black neighborhoods with other black people. They can get their own little enclaves on the other side of town somewhere. So they started to get vetted when they came over, and that's when they started to be told, don't be around the Negroes over here. See, we don't think like that. We always think, okay, this brother's black like me. This is my brother. I'm going to look out for him. But other groups, you know, they can be darker than us talking about, well, shit, I'm Dominican. I don't know nothing about, I ain't black. They say that to this day. You got so many groups out here, well, I'm not black. I'm Sammy Sosa. I'm black. I'm not black. You know, I'm black in the sense of skin tone, but, you know, that's re-vitiligo. You know, they be talking that Uncle Ruckus nonsense. So we have to do something that we haven't done in a long time. We have to focus on us. We have to focus on black people. Foundational black Americans. And the thing is, you got these people out here, these bought and paid for Negroes who are the gatekeepers for white supremacy, and their job is to run game on us, continue the benign neglect policy, keep us in the dark, and keep exploiting us for votes and exploiting us for having other groups come over, and we fund them economically. Because remember, when these other groups come over, we are their economic base. They come among us and they build businesses among us and are allowed to get business around us, and we're the ones who fund these folks. And they turn around and spit in our faces, and then they think we're going to support immigration. Black Americans, American DOS, immigration is not your issue. This is no disrespect to some good brothers and sisters who are immigrants, first and second generation. There's a lot of great brothers and sisters who are over here. There's some riders, but we're talking about some collective game here and what's going to help black Americans as a collective. And it actually works against us in the long run. But let me play a clip of Cory Booker. He's a presidential candidate now. Cory Booker, he was on The Breakfast Club this morning, as a matter of fact. And Charlamagne, shout out to my brother Charlamagne. Charlamagne asked him about a black agenda. And boy, did Cory Booker get to nigga-splaining. Boy, the nigga-splaining was on deck. Now listen to Cory Booker with the nigga-splaining. Hold on 1 second. Let me get it together.
African Americans.
Hold on. Let me take it back. Come on, Dan.
Does Cory Booker have a specific agenda for black people? And if so, what is it?
Look, man, I as an African American.
Okay, no. I don't know why he did the coon laugh right now. What the hell is he laughing for? You know, so right there, you already know the bullshit is about to start. Hey, man, you got a black agenda? when you hear the coon laugh, are you about to, here we go. All right.
Do this.
Does Cory Booker have a specific agenda for black people? And if so, what is it?
Look, man, I as an African American, mm-hmm. you know, as a black person, so much of the realities for all Americans, if you look at the lens of African Americans, they've been in many ways the conscience of this country from its founding. When we said we were going to be a nation of liberty and justice for all, the African American experience challenged the inadequacy of those words when it meant reality. And so right now, you pick an issue, from maternal mortality rates to incarceration, the broken criminal justice system.
You hear this nigga explaining?
Healthcare.
This is nigga explaining.
You see African Americans having worse outcomes, and you address the issues of Americans. Power African Americans, the very promise of America becomes real. And let me give you an example of this, a very specific example, because politicians give platitudes.
This is nigga-splaining. This is nigga-splaining. Did y'all hear this? This non-answer? I mean, he just went right into the nigga-splaining. I mean, let me play a little bit more. Just to hear the coon babble. Just listen to it.
Look, man, I, as an African American, as a black person.
Listen. Well, as an African American, as a black person, so what they're trying to say, well, look, the black agenda is me. The black agenda is me. I'm black, so that's it. Look, y'all going to live vicariously through me. I'm black as an African American. Coon laugh.
as a black, so you're going to live vicariously through me, and then we're going to take care of all people because we're more. Get out of here, nigga. The hell out of here with all that.
And if so, what is it?
Look, man, as an African American, as a black person, so much of the realities for all Americans,
all Americans
of African Americans, they've been in many ways the conscience of this country from its founding.
Y'all got to be morally see. We take the moral high ground. See, we take the abuse. I feel blood in Selma. That's Selma talk. We're the conscience of, we don't need nothing because we're the conscience. We have to sacrifice for everybody. We don't need anything. We're the sacrificial lambs for the country. We're the moral conscience of the country. So we don't really need anything. We got to, as slaves, the Negroes have to sacrifice themselves for everybody else. The benign neglect is over, Corey. We ain't going for that, brother. That's not happening, Corey. We good on you, bruh. That told us everything we need to know. Bye, Corey. We don't need nothing from Corey. That's all we need to know about Corey. That's all we need to know about him. He's nigga-splaining and coon-babbling, and we talking about what's going to be done for black folks, what type of tangibles. Well everybody, for all people. No, bruh. They don't get around the gay community and say that. They're putting together policies for the gay community. I mean, Cory Booker is a staunch advocate for the immigrant community. I mean, he's really very strong on a lot of immigrant issues. It ain't none of that all people learn. No, he's very strong on immigrant issues. When it comes to us, everything gets mush mouth, half-ass, and coon laughing. No, brother, that's not going to work. And, something else interesting about Cory Booker, a story came out today, and it was like, it was a real weird headline. It was like, Cory Booker has a girlfriend. I'm like, what the hell is that? Okay. The headline, it was like, in a lot of reputable news items, it was like, Cory Booker has a girlfriend. This could, okay. All right. Okay, that's a very weird announcement. What's that about? You going out your way to say you got a girlfriend? All right. That's real weird. And I think he's supposed to be dating Rosario Dawson, I think. I'm not sure. But, for him to come out and say that's real strange. You dig? Because nobody really, if you're dating somebody or whatever, I know he's supposed to be a single bachelor and all this old stuff, but, nobody really comes out and say that you I'm dating a girl. I mean, what you trying to say, brother? I mean, damn. Where's this music? Where's this music coming from? Is that on my end or your end? I don't know where this music is coming from. I'm having technical difficulties. I'm talking about Cory Booker, and some music just came on. I don't know. Hold on. Okay, I might have to reboot my computer. My bad. Some music just came on. I was talking about Cory Booker, and some real music, some real strange music came on. But it's just real strange that this dude, he's announcing he got a girlfriend. I just find that very, very interesting. There's been rumors about the dude. There's been rumors about him. So we already know the kind of agendas that this cat is going to push. But we got to watch cats like him. And we got to watch that whole bougie boule crowd. Now, Angela Rye, she's clicked in with Rolly. She's clicked in with that Boule crowd. She does she's on a lot of news shows as a talking head. She's on the Breakfast Club a lot. And, some behind the scenes stuff. I've heard she said some disparaging things about me behind the scenes. She's never said anything public, but I've heard little things she said behind the scenes to people. And a lot of people were like, do y'all have a beef? I'm like, no, I don't have a beef with this woman. But she said some very interesting things about people who are criticizing Kamala Harris. And let me play some clips of her. Because we got to understand, when these people go out here talking all this stuff, we got to know who they are, what they're about, what their agenda is. You dig? Let me find the clip of her. There's a few clips of Angela Rye talking about Black Americans wanting tangibles and we're not supporting immigration. Now, here's one clip. This is the first clip I want y'all to hear. Hold on. Okay, this the audio quality is a little janky, but listen, hold on.
You've never heard any of my speeches, clearly don't pay attention, that's fine. But the challenge I have now is, if you follow the narrative, it is very much about we can only talk about reparations and issues specific to Black Americans who are not immigrants, because when other people come here, they're not looking out for our best interests. Number one, that's an overgeneralization. Number two, it's dangerous.
Okay, now, she said, there's a narrative now that we can only talk about Black American issues who are not people who are not immigrants, because immigrants come over and they don't look out for our best interest. And she said, well, that's an overgeneralization. That is not an overgeneralization. Where's the lie in that? Okay, if that's an overgeneralization, collectively show us anything in the last 50 years, don't start talking about Malcolm X and Marcus Garvey and all these people who were here way before 50 years ago. I'm talking about from 68 to right now. How has immigration helped Black people? Native Black Americans, American DOS, foundational Black people. Just tell us how it helped us. How has immigration helped Black Americans? I've asked this question a million times and they can't give an answer. They start talking dumb. Well, Malcolm X, you just proved my point. Malcolm X's mother was an immigrant. There's a lot of people who were immigrants over 50 years ago because they had to live around Black people. In the last 50 years, immigration has not helped Black people in America at all. As a matter of fact, it has depleted our resources, and it has, we have uplifted a lot of people who actually work against us. All across the board, when you look at some of the Hispanic immigrants, they come over and join white supremacist gangs, Serrano's 13, the Mexican Mafia. Even on the street level, they align themselves with white supremacist groups. Then we got the ones who are not in the gangs, like the Zimmermans and Officer Yanez's. They're the ones who are killing us and getting off. Then we look over here in the Asian community. Every other week, some Asian store owner is beating a sister up. And then we have Peter Liang, where the whole Asian community around the country got together and protested to keep him out of jail for killing a Black man. And we're supposed to hop on the immigration train? No. And then we got Negroes who are immigrants who look like us, who sneak among us and then get up there at the Root and at BuzzFeed and all these other jobs, doing everything they can to undermine us. Again, most of these Negroes who work at The Root and BuzzFeed and Huffington Post, who talk all that garbage about American Black people, these are immigrant Negroes. Y'all go look at some of them last names and look at some of their Instagram and Facebook and Twitter pages. They got them foreign flags on there. Those Negroes get around us and they become the spokespersons for Black society. Look at the girls from Black Lives Matter. A few of them are immigrants. And they're supposed to be the representatives of Black society. And this is why they always change the agenda onto something else. You dig? So we got to be very cognizant of that. So Angela Rye was very incorrect in what she was saying. Let me play the rest of it.
Okay,
so then there's something that the white Democrats are doing. They're they've passed down this narrative to say that any criticism of Kamala Harris and anybody who's talking about issues for Black Americans, they're Russian bots. So a lot of Negro Democrats are running around saying this garbage. They're going around talking about it's Russian bots who's doing this to undermine the Democrats. So they're desperate at this point, family. They're desperate at this point. And they were talking that same stuff on Joy Reid's show, talking about American DOS, anybody talking about American descendants of slaves, they're bots and all this. They're desperate because they can't refute that. They can't come back with a logical answer. They can't give a logical reason for us to support immigration. I'm telling y'all, we do not need to support immigration at all. Immigration harms the hell out of us. And see, these gatekeeping Negroes, their butter biscuits, the butter biscuits are going to get taken away. Now, listen to this. Now, Angela Rye, she was on The Breakfast Club, and she said this, and then she backtracked and said she didn't say it. But listen to this, what she said.
Wage issue for Black and brown communities, and I'm struggling to understand why Black folks don't understand that we are immigrants too, right? There's been a big myth that this is just a brown issue, and it's not. It's Black and brown.
Okay, that was her on The Breakfast Club. Now let me play it one more time.
Wedge issue for Black and brown communities, and I'm struggling to understand why Black folks don't understand that we are immigrants too, right? There's been a big myth that this is just a brown issue, and it's not. It's Black and brown.
She said, I don't know why Blacks are struggling to understand that we're immigrants too. No, Black people are not, and a lot of people checked her on that. A lot of people were like, Angela, we're not immigrants. What are you talking about? Black Americans, we're not immigrants. What are you talking about? All this Black, what are you talking about? Now, y'all heard her. These are her words. I'm not taking any of her words out of context. This is her word. So now when people called her out, she made an angry video a couple of days ago saying this. Hold on.
Yo, I'm not going to tell y'all this anymore. And I'm just going to do this for the people who are in the slow section in the back. I'm in the airport, so pardon the noise. I have never said that people whose ancestors arrived in the belly of a slave ship are immigrants. So GTFOH with that nonsense, okay? Stop following trolls. Stop being convinced by bots. I know my history. My dad has worked very hard on establishing an agenda for descendants of United States slaves. I'm not unclear. You're unclear. Stop with the nonsense. I know you want clicks and follows, and I'm doing it right here so you don't get any clicks and follows off of my influence. I'm out.
Okay. So then she started backpedaling and backtracking. Y'all clearly heard her. Now she's trying to clean up. And that's what she does, that same thing Roland does when the bullshit gets called out. But y'all stupid. Y'all dumb. Roland is very good at that. Everybody's stupid and dumb. Her and Roland are very similar. Everybody's stupid and dumb when they get called out. Everybody's stupid and dumb when they get called out for their nonsense. You dig? So, I'm going to find another clip of her, because she said something else that I wanted to play. I forgot what it was. Hold on, let me find this other clip of her. Another recent one she did. Let me see if I can find that one real quickly, because I wanted to play that one too. If I could find it real quick. I'm doing a lot of stuff on the fly, but again, she's clicked in with that that whole Boule crowd. Where's that clip? There's another clip of her that I wanted to play. Where is it? Okay, I can't find it right now. I can't find it right now. But with her, with Angela, you know, she was on some things talking about, if we don't support Kamala Harris, it's a lot of haters who don't like it. That's what I'm looking for, the clip where she was calling folks haters for not wanting to support Kamala Harris. If you don't support Kamala Harris, then you're just a hater and all this old stuff. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. It might be on Essence page, and they might have me blocked. because a lot of those, The Root has me blocked because, you know, they write these slander stories on me all the time. And, you know, we had Mute The Root. The Root is complete garbage. But Angela Rye was talking about, yeah, Kamala Harris got a lot of haters and she's a strong woman. And if you don't support her, you're a hater. You know, that old garbage. And the thing is, you got to understand this. The reason why people like her and Rowley and all these cats really stump so hard for Kamala. Remember, I told y'all, Kamala Harris, and let me show y'all, just to give you a refresher here. Where's my thing here? Hold on, where's my thing here? Okay. Where am I here? I'm freezing. Where am I? Okay, my page froze. I'm all over the place here. There we go. Hold on, guys. All right, we back on because I'm... Hold on, because I'm going in and out here. Hold on. Let me see something because they mess with my feed here. Let me get my feedback in order. Hold on. Okay. Can y'all hear me now, guys? All right. Okay. My feed is being messed with right now. Is the live... Okay. I think I'm back. I know the feed is being messed with right now. And I see that it's going in and out. I'm back. Okay. All right. I'm back. I'm good to go. I think so. But my thing looked like it's going in and out. I'm here. All right. I think I'm good to go. Okay. I'm going to do the best I can. I was freezing up for a minute, but I'm going to do the best I can. So like I was telling people before, Kamala Harris, where's the thing, you? Okay, my whole thing is freezing up. Look like they... Okay, there we go. All right, so Kamala Harris is in the links. Kamala Harris is in the links. And I've talked about that before. Also, Angela Rye, if you look at her page, you go to her page... You will see that she's in the links. If I could just click on it. Okay, that's Angela Rye's page right there. Now she's in the links. You look on the bottom of the About Angela. So she's in the same organization as Kamala Harris. She's in the same organization as Kamala Harris. You see, so this is why she's going so hard. They're in the same clique. And see, we got to understand when people have ulterior motives. Of course you're going to criticize folks for getting on your girl. That's your girl. You know, these people are gatekeepers. And another thing about Angela Rye, just like Roland, you know, her family comes from immigrants. This is Angela Rye's granddad. She posted this on her Instagram last year about her granddad. Her great-grandfather, Hayes Gordon, he's a Haitian dude. He came over from Haiti. Just like Roland Martin's people, they came over from Haiti too. And look at the granddad. The granddad looked like he's one of those light-skinned dudes with green eyes from Haiti. At the time. Now you see why she ain't, you know, why she's on that immigration thing. You see why she's on that. Now you can see why she's on the immigration team. That's where her family comes from. You see? And that dad, that great-granddad, that great-granddad of hers, You know, there's a mulatto class that was out there in Haiti and on the islands. On the islands, you got to understand, a lot of people, especially from Haiti, when they came over here, they went to New Orleans. And a lot of people came through during the Haitian Revolution and after the Haitian Revolution. And a lot of the people who got off the island, who really wanted to get the hell up out of there, were the mulatto class. The mulatto class really did a lot of undermining over there with the Haitian Revolution. They messed a lot of things up after the revolution was won over there. Let me get real deep. That Haitian mulatto class. See, the mulatto class there is different than here. I told you all about that before. On the island, you know, a lot of them pride themselves on coming, being direct descendants of the slave masters, and they had that that little hierarchy with the mulattoes there, because there weren't too many white people as it was, so the mulattoes were that buffer class, so they really, really took pride in that, and they had some of the same anti-dark hatred as a lot of other people. A lot of white slave owners fled to New Orleans, because at the time, you know, that was still a territory of owned by France. And they took a lot of their Negroes with them, and a lot of the family of these slave owners, the Negro family members, they were still on the island of Haiti, you know, trying to finesse their way up off the island. So again, a lot of cats came from Haiti, that mulatto class, and went into New Orleans and in Louisiana. And understand, down there in Louisiana, you had that Creole class, who many of them were slave catchers. They would turn in runaway slaves down there, those Creoles. Yeah, those Creoles are something else. A lot of them were on the coon train, but a lot of them would get paid to turn in runaway slaves, and they had little things like the Blue Vein Society down there. The Blue Vein Society, and they had these little Blue Vein Societies all over the place, where if you are a black person whose skin was light enough, we can see your badge of honor. Some of y'all look up the Blue Vein Society. That was these Negroes trying to be like the Blue Blood Society. The Blue Bloods were the upper echelon white people. So the Negroes said, okay, we're going to mimic that, and we're going to be the Blue Vein Society, where you can see our veins. It's some real hella deep shit with that stuff, man. And they still carry that same mentality to this very day. That's why they talk to us like we stupid. This is why when we start talking about an agenda, see, these Negroes, you see them get appointed in all these little places and placed in the media and all this, and you're like, dang, why are they talking down on us getting some tangibles? Well, this is why. Because they're already getting theirs. They're already getting their tangibles. You understand? They're getting their tangibles already. And they get their tangibles by keeping you in the dark. And understand, with the Links and all those little organizations and the Boule, remember, the Links and the Boule, these are organizations where they had brown paper bag tests, man. Y'all know about that. They used to have brown paper bag tests in these little organizations. If you were too dark, they wouldn't let you in. The infamous brown paper bag test. They were hell on that brown paper bag test. The Lynx and the Boule and the Jack and Jill, they were real big on that. Until really the 80s. They kind of fizzled that out in the 80s. The movie School Days by Spike Lee, that really put a lot of light on that. After School Days, that kind of brought that thing to the forefront and shamed a lot of people. And then they kind of started to let the darkies in. But look at the movie School Days by Spike Lee, 1988, I think. Very good movie. They showed how the light-skinned and dark-skinned sororities, how they would, that colorism thing that was playing out. Yeah, that Eastern Star, a.k.a. Jack and Jill thing. Yeah, those AKAs were real big on that brown paper bag thing. I remember when I was a kid, all the AKAs were light skinned. All of them. They were known for being light skinned girls. All the AKAs were known for being light skinned girls. Oh yeah, they were free. Somebody said they had a prostitution ring in Georgia. They were some freaks too. That's another thing. Them AKAs were light-skinned and freaky. Probably them Q-Dogs turned their ass out. But the thing is, that whole mulatto buffer class black secret society thing, that's, you know, that happened a lot on the islands, and it happened here too. You had some of that here too. That's how the Boule and all that got started. It goes all the way back. I traced a lot of it back to the Denmark VC Plan Rebellion. There was a group called the Brown Fellowship Society out there in South Carolina, and they were the children of the white slave owners. So these were free Negroes who didn't want to be associated with black. They could not be associated with white, so they called themselves the Brown Fellowship Society. And they were the family of the slave masters, and they were some of the people who helped thwart the Denmark VC Revolution, where they were going to kill all the white supremacists and just kind of take over. It was those Negroes, those buffer class, bougie, mulatto Negroes who messed that up. And a lot of those black secret societies, they were born out of that mulatto class, the buffer class of the free Negroes who got extra trinkets because they were usually the offspring of the slave master. So they would get little Negro trinkets. Like, for example, Wilberforce College up there in Ohio, that was a school. It was designed for the children of black women and white men, white slave owners. That's where they would send the mulatto children. Howard University was where they would send the mulatto children of the slave owners. Did y'all know that? Howard University was the place where they would send the mulatto children of the slave owners. That's why you see a lot of that Boule stuff coming up out of there. A lot of that Boule, Lynx, Jack and Jill coming up out of there. Shout out to Howard, no disrespect. I'm talking straight history. This ain't my opinion. I'm just talking some straight history right here. Yeah, E. Franklin Frazier, that book, The Black Bourgeoisie. Also, Otis Graham's book. Otis Graham, Lawrence Graham? Where I get Otis from? Lawrence Graham, I think that's his name, right? The guy who wrote that book about the Boule called Our Kind of People. Those are books y'all need to get. Get the books by E. Franklin Frazier. He wrote this book in the 1950s, breaking down all these Boule and all these little black secret societies and the brown paper bag test. Very good book. I got that book inside the house. And Our Kind of People by Lawrence Graham. That's a very good book because Lawrence Graham, he's actually a coon. And he's very honest in his book, talking about the Boule and all these little black secret societies and all the self-hate and the self-hate he had growing up for himself, and the nigga went and got a nose job and he was trying to get in with white folks real good, and his grandmama told him not to be outside in the sun so they wouldn't get dark. He was very honest in his book for a coon, and he's a coon who wrote this book. But it's a very good book talking about these little black secret societies and the little shit that they do. You dig? It's real heavy, man. I'm giving y'all some books, receipts, the whole thing. And most of the HBCUs were named after white people. You know, Spelman was named after Rockefeller's wife, Laura Spelman. Most of these universities were named after white people. Most of these HBCUs, they were formed to keep black folks in the South and also to keep black people, you know. They didn't want black people to rise up too much, so they wanted to keep black people as a labor class in the South. That's why they got Booker T. Washington and rose him up and promoted Booker T. Washington. And Booker T. Washington, the thing about Booker T., because a lot of folks thought Booker T. Washington was a coon, because, again, he was the son of a slave master, too. So Booker T. Washington was the Obama of his time. But the thing about Booker T. Washington, he hated the white supremacists. And he wrote in his secret diaries how much he hated their ass. So he would get his money and fund radical groups. So Booker T, he was a rider on the low. Yeah, Jack and Jill is big. Yeah, they got a lot of Jack and Jill out here in L.A. But the thing is, we got to watch these folks, man. that whole children of slave master thing. Because remember, with Kamala Harris, her family out there in Jamaica, you know, they were bragging about being descendants of this well-known slave owner out there in Jamaica. You understand? So a lot of them on those islands, their families on that island, they don't identify with other black people. They think that there's something else. And then they come over here and have that same mentality. Don't think that sister girl jive talk that they're trying to run about Kamala Harris is something that's genuine. They know it's not genuine. Kamala Harris does not help black women. She is not you and you ain't her. This is what Kamala thinks about sisters. Hold on, where's my picture? I wish I could put the picture up. Hold on, this is right here. This is an article from a couple of years ago, and I have a whole bunch of these. All these articles of sisters getting locked up because of Kamala's policies, those truancy court policies. And look at this picture. This is up there in the Bay Area. This is truancy court, courtroom full of Negroes. And I can sit up here and just show picture after picture after picture after picture of sisters in California getting arrested because of those truancy laws where they criminalize parents for kids who skip school. Now, children skip school all the time, but, you know, they had to go extra and criminalize these black families. And just a courtroom full of black folks because of Kamala Harris's policies. This is what she thinks about sisters right here. Just remember that while she's dancing to Cardi Damn B and doing the Wakanda signal and all that. That's what she's doing to sisters in California. Just be very clear on that. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. But like I said, benign neglect is over. The benign neglect policy is over, family. We're on code. We're going to stay on code. We're going to let folks know that no tangibles, no vote. It's tangibles 2020. We don't want to hear about no damn reform, nothing that's unquantifiable, nothing that's immeasurable. We're not trying to hear any of that. We're not doing that game. We're not talking trickle down. We don't want to hear nothing about no Medicaid. We don't want to hear nothing about no health net. We don't want to hear nothing about no crime reform. There's going to have to be tangible, specifically for foundational black Americans. That's it right there. We're not going to let them deviate off the path. Well, everybody ain't no everybody. We're treated in a very specific way. We need specific corrective action for this family. It's that simple. And the thing about it, the Tangibles 2020 and the First Them movement, it's spreading and they can't target any one particular person. And that's the good thing. Because usually when you have a movement going on, they'll target the person who's leading the movement and then they'll dissipate all the energy. But now, see, we have an agenda. That's something that black folks haven't had in a long time. This is why they're so hell-bent on breaking us up and trying to get sisters to be on some, hey, sister girl, they trying to hate on. No, no, no. Sisters ain't going for that. It's Tangibles 2020 for American descendants of slaves, foundational black Americans. That's what's on the plate right now. And we ain't going to lift up off that. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the show. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Go to Tangibles 2020. Support the movement, family. Put a little something on it so we can stay on the necks of everybody. Go to FirstThem.com. Go to TariqElite.com. I'm going to holler.